SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website, too. It's officially 9 o'clock, right? With all the bings and the bongs and the... It's very funny. There's a whole bunch of the racing media stuff, DRF in particular, that comes right at 6 a.m. You know, so you don't even have to look at the clock. There's certain things that kind of pop up that you've become accustomed and you know what it means without even looking. We know that it's the week before Thanksgiving, and so it's a little quiet. However, much as we've talked for the last two weekends since Breeders' Cup, there's really good racing everywhere you look, and even some places that you wouldn't necessarily go looking. If it's your local track, if you happen to be, let's say, Canadian, and you're into the action up at Woodbine, which starting to, we can see the valedictory from here. It's getting toward the end. However, very, very good weekend here of stakes action, and that includes tomorrow the Coronation Futurity for the two-year-olds and the Bessarabian on Sunday, and also tomorrow the Kennedy Road. In fact, both the Kennedy Road and the Bessarabian Grade Twos, and not just those races. There's some other good action feathered in tonight at Delta Downs. The Sabine Sand. Normally we'd be, thinking jackpot and princess. Unfortunately, not the case. But tonight, the My Trusty Cat, and tomorrow the Jean Lafitte for the two-year-olds. There's a couple of invaders. McPeak's invading the Jean Lafitte, and certainly Kenny would go down to Delta with two-year-olds. Plenty of good local horses, too, that have been running at Evangeline and already at Delta. Jerry Delhomme with X-Clown. A Jimmy Creed gelding in there. Two wins, 2 seconds. McPeak's got Sir Wins-A-Lot. That's coming out of a allowance at Keeneland that was off the turf. Had run in three straight turf races off the turf. Really moved forward, actually, when off the turf. That was in the slop, though, so who knows? And, of course, Delta with a fairly unusual, the Sabine Sand, a very unusual riverbed sand, silt and whatnot that makes up the main track at Delta. So I wanted to make sure to mention, both the Delta action and the Woodbine races. And a lot of familiar horses participating in the Kennedy Road. Extravagant Kid for Brendan Walsh goes up, coming out of the Woodford. Kennedy Road, 6 furlongs on the Poly. Pink Lloyd, of course, the remarkable Pink Lloyd, his 6th start of the year. And I don't remember him running in this last... No, he didn't. The end of his season last year was when he was tailing off. How about Larry Ravelli, who's been raiding the coffers in Toronto, Ravelli has sent 10 horses up. How about this? There's actually somebody else, too, that has cleverly gone up to Canada. Arnaud Delacour as well. I'm going to tell you about both. And you know, I only really, you know, glance at the Woodbine stuff. And, you know, certain weekends, obviously, we look at it and talk about it. Larry Ravelli has sent 10 horses up. 3 wins, 2 seconds, 2/3. So Ravelli shipping with intent. Of course, Ravelli wins, you know, very high rate because he basically runs where he can win. And how about Arnaud Delacour? I don't know if Delacour is going to make the trip for the, I think it's the 10th. Is it the 10th? Yeah, it's the 10th race, which is a money allowance, 72.5. And he's the number 16 in there with Ode to Joy for our friend Ed Seltzer and Bev Anderson, one of their homebreds. And Arnaud Delacour, 9 starts this year at Woodbine, 4 wins. So Ravelli and Delacour, and they've got very similar accents, actually. No, they don't. No, just kidding. So I wanted you to be aware of, because I don't know if we'll circle back at any point to Woodbine and Delta today, but I did want to slip those in. And tonight, my trusty cat gets the stakes action going. And, of course, next week, there's no shortage of midweek, you know, leading through Thanksgiving and Clark and then the 2-year-old card at Churchill, getting excited about that. But at the 8-tracks, the ones that we talk about the most, Del Mar, Churchill, and Aqueduct. Again, good, good cards. No stake at Churchill. We'll talk to Marty McGee, who joined me at age 60. And then after Marty, we'll have the fair-haired kid, the youngster, Jay Primman, who gets the clink to 59 for another 9 days or so, to whatever, to 8, 15 days, 2 weeks. We'll talk to Jay largely about 2-year-olds, and because there's a few that we never really got to this week, and so we saved it for Jay. But Marty will start us off, and we'll talk about Churchill. That race yesterday, that turf allowance that we kind of looked at, and I bet declined, who took way too much money, and I bet him anyway. That wasn't too smart. And Infinite ended up winning for Wesley Ward and Mrs. Hay. So there was also Irish Mischief later on that card. I saw that race, the Brad Cox stake filly that was like 2-5. Yeah, 2-5. And she won. You know, she won well, a little class relief for her. But we'll talk to Marty about the weekend. There's some good, good maiden specials tomorrow at Churchill, a couple of good allowances as well. And then, you know, Ben Huffman and staff saving the stakes action for the big end of the season between the Stars of Tomorrow plus everything that goes with Thanksgiving week. In the Ville, the Fall City and the Cardinal. Maybe we'll get a little window from Mart about what to expect there. The Clark and the Mrs. Revere, of course, on Friday, week from today. And then the Golden Rod and the Jockey Club with the rest of the Stars of Tomorrow, 2-card next Saturday. So we'll get a little bit of that in. Nick Tamaro, top of hour 2 as well today. We'll just go through Aqueduct. It's the Red Smith. And speaking of Red Smith, it's funny. I'm glad I'm going to make the connection because I found a piece yesterday. I was looking for a great picture when I put up the listing for yesterday's show. And I want to thank Tommy Skiffington again for the extended visit and, you know, the frank and an interesting perspective that Tommy offers. I mean, a consummate horseman. And I went looking for a picture of Tommy Walsh. I ended up putting up the one of him where he looks, he's probably 17 or 18 in that picture, but I was looking for something else, and I found a Red Smith column from 1957. I'll tweet that. in honor of tomorrow's Redsmith. The grade three, mile and three eighths on the grass. Weather, you know, it's damp and cool. And, you know, we're at the point, obviously, where, you know, any further precipitation will take races off. But right now, we look good from what I can tell. And in fact, we're running on the grass in the second and third tomorrow in New York. So looking forward to going down. And I'll make a final check of forecast, make sure we're all right for Ozone Park and the racing. They're talking a little, they're talking some rain early morning. Rain possible 12:45, but it's a short window. Then it looks like tomorrow night, some is going to rain in. So it's potentially going to, it might potentially lose some turf, on Sunday, FYI. All right. I hadn't checked it in a couple of days, but, we're at that juncture where it's the turf will start to get very susceptible because it never dries once the weather comes. Rest of that card, too, tomorrow. Second level allowance looks good. Turf sprinting as part of the pick four. There's a 7/8 race. Chad Brown's got Free Enterprise in there who looks tough. There's a couple, though, that could test. There's a 2-year-old maiden special as well that's got some very nice pedigrees. That's the race I mentioned with Bill Mott and the siblings and the family of Royal Delta, Queen's Empire, who drew outside. And this is pretty much the last of the only horse that Besalou is campaigning. Chad Brown, though, Telephone Talker, ran very well in defeat in his debut for the Ramses, the homebred Wicked Strong Colt, was good on the main track and now stretches out on turf, which might have been that, you know, Kitten's Joy mare. So there's some other quality looking types. West Point and Danny Gargan have got a City Zip, Voodoo Zip in there. Chad's actually got another one, too. The one for Seth Klarman, the Lope de Vega colt, Assiduously. So good racing. We'll talk to Nick. I mentioned to you yesterday, Brad Anderson is going to be here to recount his success that started 2 weeks ago at Santa Anita when he won the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge. We'll get the BC winner in, as always. There's been so much going on. We were very slow getting to the results, to all the stories from Breeders' Cup. They keep weaving them in. Who else? Scully, after Brad. We'll get some opinions from Scully. Jeff Siegel, hour three. Get some action from him. Hammer, and he's going to have at least one RTIP student join him. Dr. Hammerly, as they call him around the halls of University of Arizona. And Mike Welch, because the Gulfstream West knee Calder, season ender for jackpot opportunity. Sunday's the force out. All right, so we'll get a little visit in with Mike Welch before we close out the week. So maybe get a couple of early. I'm sure Mike probably turns in the analysis today. So for the Sunday paper, but yeah, because they only drew it yesterday. But maybe he's got some early ideas. All right, we'll get some help from Mike for those that are going to play, which I'm sure are a lot of you. The meeting yesterday the CHRB had a highly anticipated meeting, and God bless those that sat through it. You 3 hours, three and a half, four? How long did it go? I don't know how long it went. The coverage on Twitter was, I don't know if it was dragging on or whatever. And it didn't seem to get a lot done, and it seemed to annoy any number of constituents involved. But Greg Ferraro, Dr. Ferraro, who is very well known in those circles, he will be the new chairman of the CHRB. That at least got accomplished. Might bring this up a little bit later with more, certainly next week. Let's take a break. We'll get started. Marty McGee, newly 60, starts us off.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRFSports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm a troublemaker.
We're back at the races, coming up on 20 into the weekend preview. Marty McGee going to join us, and as we wait for Mart, I'll mention from last week, I did not, there's a lot of things I never got to, actually, but one of them was the two steaks from Laurel. And how about Mike Trombetta coming right back with his wife's horse? News to me. Wins again and just got up a little under 2-1 and was, you know, all out to get up. And Trevor McCarthy gets there with the Golden Sense Colt. And so, Mike, you know, that keeping Marie happy follows up with the Mark McDermott win at Presque Isle and wins again. And then on the other side for the girls race, you had the one we talked about with Kelly Breen, co-factor, and Joe Bravo as the 6-5 favorite for Stoneway. And co-factor was a little easier winner than was news to me. And we should mention, if you were paying attention to that card, the very nice older horse, not a 2-year-old, but Brittany Russell sent out the horse for Marshall Graham and Partners, the 10 Strike, B. Nintendi, that won well. They've been waiting and they've been expecting, and they had all kinds of delays for this 3-year-old. And looks like he was worth waiting for. So there's a few pieces from last week we did not get to. Marty McGee standing by and joins us now. Marty, let's compare notes. How's 60?
Vic, how you doing, Vic?
I'm good. It's been a fun week.
60 is all right. We're now into our 7th decade, Vic.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that. That's true, because we're both, you know, 59. We just got in under the wire.
My dad, bless his soul, he died January 14th, 2008. He was always real cognizant of age and everything. He said, but toward the end of his life, he says, you know, you're not really old until you're 70. That's when you're old. So we got another 10 years here, Dave.
Well, and even that seems these days, maybe that should be amended to 75, or I don't even know. It's crazy. Everybody living longer if they're living right. And even some, my favorite is when you read about the ones, you know, what's the secret to your long life? Well, you know, cigar and going to the track and a couple of shots of whiskey every day.
Yeah. Oh, invariably. I saw somebody on the news the other day, was like 107 or something. You know, and they looked like they were, you know, going about it real good. So had a little nice little dinner last night, but tonight at Shenanigans, which advertises as having the coldest beer in town, they're having a little party for me, my daughter, and
nice.
And yeah, so it should be a good time.
Well, and of course, Mayor Fisher declaring, you know, proclamation, Marty McGee Day yesterday in the Ville.
He did not.
Well, I could have.
You know, he did. He did proclaim one for me after I won the after I got an Eclipse back in 2014. I remember Ron Anderson brought it over to me because is Ron married or not? You put it on Twitter that he is Mr. and Mrs. Anderson. I don't think he and Nancy are married.
I can't keep track. Who can keep track of it?
Anyway, Nancy's sister, Ellen Hessen, is the right-hand deputy to Mayor Fisher here in town. So
how about that?
Yeah, so they hand-delivered it over here one gray February day or so. It was in January of 2014, unbeknownst to me, but anyway.
I'm very impressed. I was being tongue in cheek about a Marty McGee proclamation, but there it is. Yeah. Listen, the McGees are big. And by the way, now that we have a chance to talk, you played possum with us the other day when I wanted you to come on and help us with the pick five. But I did tell everybody, Mart, that the fact that you picked your brother's horse past the plate and then you don't know if you heard about Dale Romans's visit. Dale said that he was the horse to fear and to beat, and sure enough, took all the money and then ran like a, was 5-2, ran like 2-5.
And that was, tried to tell you, who are you trying to tell me about? You know, the days get mixed up here. This is Friday.
No.
second. Are you talking about Wednesday, November 20th?
I'm talking about Wednesday when your brother's horse romped in the second leg of the pick five.
Yeah, and then Dale won with who at 2-5?
He didn't. No, he didn't win with anybody. He was scared of your horse. He was scared of your brother's horse.
You know, she only got, you're talking about pass the plate, she only got a 71 buyer again, but I guess this goes back to what we've talked about maybe the last time we talked to us, how these two-year-olds look really good winning, but their buyer numbers come back real shy, I guess, because there is so much room for improvement when they get older.
Well,
but I would have thought the way she looked winning, and I was, Mike Welsh texted me right after the race. He goes, man, your brother's got a nice horse there. And I said, yeah, I'm expecting Jay Stone to send me a text any minute now asking for my brother's phone number. Because, you know, Jay loves to glom onto those young horses and buy them for the Reeves's and all that. But, he's real happy about her, and he's got Go Google Yourself as the one of the favorites against Dale and C.J. Johnson in the upcoming Fall City on Thanksgiving Day.
Right.
So that'll be exciting.
We'll talk about some of the probables for next week because looking forward to it already. A quick wrap-up. What was the fallout from the carryover pick five? It paid multiple times over the parlay, 2,518, the tough horse to come up with. And I understand from a couple of people that Scott Shapiro liked Home Base, and that was the horse. If you had Home Base, you probably hit this thing.
I was so mad at myself, Steve. I didn't play it the other day, and in hindsight, of course, it's always really easy. But I ended up playing it piecemeal, you know, just with some pick threes and stuff, messing around, because the long view on that thing was that it was too hard, and boom, you had a couple of favorites, including my brother, win if I'd singled her. But I really wasn't that confident because that looked like a really deep race. Maker had one in there, and Dale and Cox and everybody else. So, I just did. Sometimes discretion works. Oftentimes it works. You think if I would have played it, I would have lost. So, you know, you save that money. But anyway, Home Base, I thought, I really liked that horse. Ended up using it in a multi later. And also the last race winner for Wesley Ward and the Ramseys. I thought that horse kind of stood out too. So I should have played it. It paid great, as it often does. You know, I love the way that Marshall Graham quantifies how players are getting X percentage of value. He'll always put that up on Twitter when we have a carryover of note, especially in these pick fives. So I was just kind of mad at myself for not playing it, but, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, and the two, there were two weird things, a couple of different spots that were squirrely, and that includes the first leg where Fra Mauro came through, the Keneally, and, that's a horse that, you looked at and you thought, non-winners are two lifetime, and this is a horse that seems wind shy. But then you look at Keneally's numbers off the claim. I mean, Eddie's deadly off the claim. And, right?
Yeah, there were a couple of 9-5s in that race, but you thought, neither one of them have to win.
Right.
I got to go deep right away. And like I said, the next leg was my brother, and I wasn't all that confident. But it just works out that way. And then a third favorite one. I forget who that was in the third leg.
Well, that was the horse. In fact, Ed DeRosa was with us, and Ed's was going to single Gunnett, who got an 88 buyer in that spot.
Yeah, he kind of had the look to me too, like he was a beatable favorite. So that's why I ended up not playing.
Yeah, it was tricky.
Yeah, he ran big too.
So. It was fun though. It was my birthday, and I enjoyed it.
Did you hit it?
No, and Tomlinson, and it's funny, I looked at the Tomlinson, I saw that he had run races that could win, and I ended up not even having him on the ticket as a C. One version I did have him as a C, but not when I punched the play.
Mike is perennially underrated, I think.
Yep.
A lot of these tote boards. So.
Well, and one of the nicest couples and people in racing, Mike and Mickey Tomlinson.
second.
Let's talk a couple minutes about the weekend past. And everybody bent over backwards last week that Mr. Misunderstood was finished and not the same horse. And then he wins at 9-2, and you want to gouge your eyes out.
I did. You know, I was right there. It's State and Flurry. You know, I tell him I'm rooting for him, but really I'm betting against him. And, you know, because I'm like, the horse was 0-4. He had been a win machine, and now he's 0-4, so what's that tell you? Even though his race was sneaky good at Remington coming into that. But I just had such a gut feeling for Brian Lynch's horse because, unbeknownst to me when I wrote about it last week, help me out with the horse's name, Bick. I'm getting old here.
Which one? That you liked?
Yeah, the horse of Brian Lynch's, who was the favorite, Admission Office.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Okay, so last Saturday was the 10-year anniversary of Bobby Frankel's death. And,
yes.
Brian was real, did you talk about this or not on the show?
You made reference and that you were hopeful, or, you know, kind of, they're kind of expecting that he's going to have a big year next year, that he's, you know, kind of launching what might be, a serious campaign going forward.
Right. And Brian was looking for this race, the River City, to be the catapult to the Pegasus World Cup turf. And unbeknownst to me, until Saturday when I ran into him at the races midway through the card, he said, you know, this is Bobby's 10-year anniversary of his death. And Brian was a longtime assistant and good friend of Bobby Frankel, who died on November 16, 2009. And to me, that put me over the top. I had to just go bet more and, you know, just that kind of thing. It's just so neat. And both Mr. Misunderstood and Admission Office ran alongside each other for a long way, all the way down the backside till they got to the quarter pole, at which point Mr. Misunderstood had saved a little more ground all the way on that turn. And then he cut inside, and he got a good trip between rivals. He was lucky, and it opened up for Florent Giroux. And Admission Office, meanwhile, with Jose Ortiz, was forced to stay wide the whole way. It might have made a difference. He only got beat, a couple of necks. So, anyway, I know everything's going Brad Cox's way this year, it seems. It's just, he's going over the $16 million earnings mark. He's fourth nationally. He's got a stable, a literal stable full of good horses. And, you know, whenever he wins, we shouldn't be surprised.
Well, and speaking of Brad Cox, he started the pick four off with the 2-year-old, Mr. Monomoy. Again, kind of a modest fig, going 6.5, but 6.5 is always a weird, I never worry about the figs going that distance. 74 buyer for the little brother of Monomoy Girl.
Yeah, he was really excited about that. He says he's going to give him every chance to become a Derby-type horse. So I guess that means one other than next month, December, at Fairgrounds. Maybe he'll stretch him out already by then. I'm sure they'd have that kind of opportunity for him. But he's cut out to be a good one, you know, obviously being a half to Monomoy Girl. And, later in that card, McPeak won the finale with a filly that looked dynamite. I mean, she just... trying to think what her name was.
Swiss Skydiver.
Yeah, and she got like a 76 buyer.
Correct.
First asking, wasn't away all that well, and just zoomed past everybody. So I'm sure Kenny's excited about her.
Tyler Gaffleone aboard for that, and Gaffleone's winning races willy-nilly, 2-3 a day. Gaffleone seems dialed in.
You know, I talked to Mark Cassie about him about 2 years ago. It was down at Gulfstream. I said, man, have you really watched how good this kid is? He goes, oh, yeah. And that's, you know, that explains why Mark rides him as much as he did. He's a heck of a talent. He really is, Tyler Gaffleone.
That was the week that was. And let's turn our attention to both the weekend here coming and what lies ahead into Thanksgiving, and always a highlight of the calendar at the end of the year at Churchill. And this weekend, no stakes. Ben Huffman in the office basically saving everything. But there's a lot of good maiden and allowance races. Hard to believe, Martu, that three maiden special weights Saturday And then there's going to be the all two-year-old card a week from tomorrow.
Well, that speaks to how many two-year-olds there are around here, not just here at Churchill, but at the trackside and at Keeneland and the training center in Lexington. They come from everywhere, it seems like. And there's some good racing here this weekend. I mean, what do you expect for maiden races to start at 95,000 if you're Kentucky bred? So, we've all seen the wave of the future, and that is Kentucky's a major circuit again, or perhaps more so than ever, with these purses that they're giving away.
Well, we start tomorrow. Pick a spot, maybe. I don't know if you want to talk about somebody in the maiden races that you like. There's some nice pedigrees. I thought, in fact, I'll give you one funny price. 12-1 in that seventh race, 6 furlongs for boys. And Greg Foley, who's been known to win with a firster here and there, he's got the Lloyd Madison homebred, the Ghost Zapper, out of the very productive Bobby's Babe. Major Fed is 12-1, and I think he's a little clever in here.
Well, I mean, possibly. That's my man, Rob Lloyd of Lloyd Madison Farms. They've been breeding and racing horses for close to two decades now. I'm a fan of those guys. This is a race where you got Ace Musin with a 6-5 favorite on the bottom, mm-hmm. number 11, Gold Street. I think I ended up picking him. He's going to get the open air outside box where the air is fresh and clear trip. So, yeah.
There's also a half to Ticonderoga in here that is interesting. Wesley Ward moves Fontana from the turf to the dirt, which I thought was a little intriguing. Wesley off to a notable start. He's 3-7 at the meet.
Yeah, he won a nice lounge race here yesterday with Martin Garcia on the grass. So Martin, by the way, is 2-4-7 to start it out. As he shifts from Southern California, where he, like so many others, were having a hard time getting mounts. And he intends to, according to his agent, Jay Fedor, ride not only through the end of the meet here, but a little bit of Turfway before they head down and get all set for Oaklawn, which I believe starts January 24th or 25th. So, and of course, you heard the news. I don't know if you had it on your show about Joe Talamo, my nephew-in-law, making the big move from here to from California to Oaklawn, starting there, and then I think they're looking for a house here in Louisville.
How about that? They're leading the charge. The ninth race and the 11th are basically split divisions. Unbelievable. Mile and a 16th, Mart, and one of the best named 2-year-olds. In the country, Hold Me Closer, Tiny Danza, and 6-1.
Is that the ninth?
The ninth race, the five. It is the greatest name. Ed Johnston and Rudy Brissett. It makes me smile every time this horse. The horse is 0-4, but it just makes me smile. And it's actually competitive in here at 6-1.
It's an all-time song too, by the way.
Oh, it's great. Oh, Tiny Danza. It's awesome.
All right, what else are we doing here, Bick?
Give us some winners. What are you doing? You're the lead handicapper.
All right, next weekend is the big one. And by the way, we only had this kind of empty weekend without a stake because of the way the calendar fell. Next year we'll go back to 21 days. It was an elongated meet with the November 30th being a Saturday. That's just kind of a quirk of the calendar. Next week we have 6 graded stakes here worth almost $2 million in purses. It goes 2-2-2, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The two on Thursday, as I mentioned, the first of it is the Fall City, in which Go Google Yourself for my brother. She has a great name, too. And Sally's Curlin, they will be the probable favorites. Cox has a couple in there in both Moonlit Garden and My Lady Curlin, probably get 8 or 9 in there, I would guess. They take entries for that tomorrow, as well as for the Grade 3 Cardinal, Fillies and Mares on the Grass. I didn't really notice a real standout in there. Cox has Lamari, Limari, and Stave and a few more. I'm sure they'll get a pretty good field of Fillies and Mares for that. You want me to keep going?
Yeah, give us we got Tis the Law coming to town in the Kentucky Jockey Club. We've got lots to look forward to.
Friday we have the Mrs. Revere for 3-year-old fillies. Chad Brown's got a couple in there in Nay Lady Nay and New and Improved. It should be a pretty big field in that. The Clark is a great race. You got both Tom's Detat for Al Stahl and his New Orleans neighbor Dallas Stewart having Seeking the Soul coming back. Bravazo, Draft Pick, Major Cabby, Mosito Rojo, Mr. Buff, Mr. Freeze, Snapper Sinclair. They're all supposed to run. Roadster, as you know, is entered tomorrow in the Native Diver at Del Mar. It seems like Bob Baffert is leaning toward keeping him there as opposed to sending him here for the Clark. Owendale, Brad Cox keeps putting me off on whether or not he's going to run back out of the Breeders' Cup Classic. He says it depends on how he breezes tomorrow. I'm looking for 10 to 12 in there. First time, by the way, Steve, that won't be run as a handicap. As you know, Churchill has scrapped all of their handicap conditions for the Stephen Foster, the Clark, all of them, Fleur-de-Lis and the Fall City. So then on Saturday, a week from tomorrow, the Kentucky Jockey Club and the Goldenrod, Baffert ascending Auberge and Bast, reportedly here for the Goldenrod. Kentucky Jockey Club, as you mentioned, Tis the Law, withheld from the Breeders' Cup to await the KJC after winning the Champagne by 4 lengths. He'll be the favorite in a field that will also include the 1-2-3 finishers from the Street Sense, those being South Bend, Fighting CB, and the Asmussen-trained Silver Prospector. As you would expect, these are going to be some great races.
Big time. We're going to be gone Wednesday. I think Wednesday and Thursday is the way it's looking. So maybe we'll touch base. But Mart, happy birthday. Many more. We'll talk.
All the same, my man. I appreciate it.
Happy Thanksgiving to the McGees. We'll take a break here. Jay Pribman standing by. Well, maybe. Not if he's standing by. Going to visit a little bit with Jay and get a Del Mar snapshot and ask about a couple of the nice 2-year-olds, including Authentic, that we really haven't had a chance to discuss much, and a couple of very nice fields too. As it happens, Mart brought up the stake tomorrow, the Native Diver. It's a field of 6. We'll see what Jay's thoughts are, but there's certainly a notable maiden race. I brought this up yesterday. That 6th with the $1.2 million Snapchat. And there's also another on that topic. There's another expensive Larry Best to keep track of back on the East Coast. And there's also today the 1 mile third race. These are fillies, and Simon Callahan brings back that Sarah Lynn, the $1.3 million Gulfstream sale, Fasig Tipton purchase, the Curlin. That was a very special moment for a lot of reasons, as you recall from the spring. And we had John Sakura with a very notable one of the best conversations of the year on the show about that $1.3 million seller and the J.J. Kruppi part of it, and there was a lot going on there. Let's take a break. Jay Pribman, after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest, we know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $125 are on them. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K. And you'll get $125 when you wager $500 within your first 30 days. See what I mean? House money just for playing the races you were going to bet anyway. Check out ExpressBet.com for more information. And don't forget to sign up using promo code BYK. B-Y-K to get that $125 bonus. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com. Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, about 10, 12 minutes to the top of the hour. We may move some pieces here on the chessboard. Looking forward, though, to catching up with Jay. Get a little bit more coming out of that high-velocity win. Bob Hope, we didn't talk to Jay last week, and really haven't discussed authentic yet much. The impressive Baffert Maiden winner, the Into Mischief. Really, right now, I mean, a lot of the Baffert hand. It sure feels like Eight Rings is like fifth on the pecking order already. When you look at these others, like Thousand Words and so forth. So we'll maybe get to Jay on the flip side, because Nick Tamaro jumps in at the ready. And Nick, good morning.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm great. Wanted to catch up with you and handicap a little bit in New York with, again, another stacked card of racing. It's, you know, the Red Smiths, the feature tomorrow, and we've got a second level allowance as part of the pick four, pick five, a good 7/8 race where Chad will be a heavy favorite. 2-year-olds on the turf, and I think we're going to be okay with the grass. There might be a little bit of rain today, but I think we might slip through. Talk about the Red Smith.
Yeah, this is the second or third year in a row the Red Smith has come up just an absolute, I mean, it's a minefield from a wagering perspective. Now, I guess the difference is that Sadler's Joy is deservedly going to be a big favorite, and it really doesn't stop with him. He's just one of, I think, a number of contenders. And you know, it's funny when Marshall Graham told me he was going to run Dot Matrix in the Red Smith. I said, you know, he's been wanting to run Dot Matrix long forever. And I told him the only thing I can tell you is that race has come up like sort of nobody realized it's one of the toughest graded stake races on the entire year in New York. And this is no exception. So the good thing about it is it looks like you've got confirmed pace with Glorious Empire and Red Right Hand signed up. They both really, Glorious Empire more so than Red Right Hand, really only knows one way to go. So that should make that will ensure that things are good. And then also Tis a Slam is going to show some speed from the inside. So it feels like it'll be an honestly run race. I would assume that Sadler's Joy will get the setup that he needs in order to be successful. But the difference between maybe previous races with him and tomorrow is that Javier Castellano's getting on, and he has generally been a little bit more patient with Sadler's Joy. Jose Lozcano wanted to get him involved a little bit earlier each of the last two times, including the Sword Dancer. I actually think that worked well for him. So this could be a situation where he ends up having to make up a lot of ground, and I'm not sure that you want to necessarily be doing that this time of year on either turf course. Marzo was an impressive winner of the Sycamore. Nakamura maybe had a little bit tougher trip than Marzo did that day. The day to have Marzo was last time at 14-1. You're going to get less than that in here in a considerably tougher field. And, you know, the bloom is off the rose, I think, given that he's now shown he wanted to do this all along, and it took Mike Maker getting him and putting him in a spot like this in order to get it done. You also have the import Petit Fils, who has been successful going long in the past in France, now in the barn of Christophe Clément. Pretty shockingly, and this is something he used to do very, very well, Christophe Clément's been on a pretty bad run with European imports, and it'll be interesting to see how this horse does. It could be a situation where all along he may have needed not necessarily firmer ground, but probably Lasix. We talk about this all the time, especially at Breeders' Cup time, but I've always been of the opinion that horses that come over from Europe either need firm ground or Lasix, or in some cases both. So there's a big chance of him moving forward. And, you know, I've rattled off six horses and probably left out a couple of other somewhat legitimate contenders, and it's really just that kind of race.
It's funny that you introduced this conversation, actually, about how competitive this is for a late-season turf race. And, of course, Sadler's Joy, the decision from, you know, from the camp, Woods Lane and Tom Albertrani, to bypass Breeders' Cup, and that, you know, they would make this their, you know, their season-ending goal. So you got to feel like Albertrani's done all he can to be ready for this spot.
Yeah, well, and they were realistic about it. There was probably a pretty slim chance he was going to be able to beat Bricks and Mortar, and then he wouldn't have been probably much lower than 12 or 15-1. I don't think he would have had a much better chance than a horse like Arclo or Zulu Alpha. So why run there and probably be in line for a fourth place check at best when you could run here where, you know, the winner's share gets you even more than you would for fourth place in there. So good. We don't see enough of this necessarily. In some cases, we see too much of it, but we don't see enough of it in this kind of scenario in the graded stake level where horses are put are wisely spotted. I think one of the things that you want to keep focusing on with this horse is that he's been most effective around three turns. And I know that the Turf Classic, the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic, was a good effort. And it was a race where he really ended up positioned somewhere where you'd almost never expect a horse like Sadler's Joy, as he more or less scrimmaged on the lead with Arclo and Channel Maker. And that's something we had, you don't want to say seldom seen from Sadler's Joy. We had never seen it. He's always been a deep one-run closing type that needed things to unfold in front of him in order to set the table. And Jose Lozcano did, somewhat astutely get him involved in it a little bit earlier, and we talked about that race in preparation for the Breeders' Cup turf. The field being somewhat compressed coming to the quarter pole really did give a big advantage to Arklo, who has the strongest closing kick of those three horses. So I think returning to, well, I did say that Javier Castellano being more than likely to take him back, he'll be able to return to his more comfortable running style. I don't necessarily know if that'll provide him a big advantage, but I've enjoyed Savage Joy for a long time, and an intact six-year-old who's a grade one winner is a lot of fun. So it'll be interesting to see what he has to offer tomorrow in what undoubtedly is a very realistic yet difficult spot.
Let's back up into the eighth race, and this is a turf sprint on the outer turf, and as always, you know, you got your choice. You got to make a decision about the pace, and you know, there's a horse or two that have run races that would look to maybe push this field around a tiny bit. And you know, that Get Mother a Rose was making steady progress through the year, and kind of went, you know, I'm not going to say sideways, but you know, didn't get the trip that she wanted, I would say, last time, going the 7/8 at Belmont, and back to 6 in here, and at 9-2, I was kind of interested in going back to her.
Well, that's where you need to go, in my opinion. I think that, and in viewing the replay of her last race, prior to being stymied inside, the issue with that particular race was that there was not a whole great deal of pace on paper, shockingly. And no one showed any speed. And a horse like Get Mother a Rose, who I don't know if Jose Ortiz had felt maybe a little bit tricked into what happened the time before, but she was 6 lengths off the pace 2 starts back because that was an extremely fast pace. And she found herself 3 lengths off the pace last time, and that was an extremely slow pace. And the shame of it is that this is a fast horse. So she was out of position from the start and then ended up lacking a clear path in the stretch. And, you know, I bet I'll handle the cash last time. I'll admit that because I thought that she'd be right on top of what I figured would be a relatively moderate pace. And Ray Handel's barn was going very well at the time. To me, there is no chance that I'll handle the cash will beat Get Mother a Rose tomorrow. They may finish last and next to last, but Get Mother a Rose is going to finish ahead of her. I know Rosario getting back or getting on I'll handle the cash is a good move, but Get Mother a Rose is a better horse, and with a cleaner trip, she's going to get the job done. It looks like it'll be a slightly more honestly run race. If Kitten's Cover Girl shows the speed from the outside that she has recently, that should only enhance the situation. I think a lot of people are going to end up on Albertville as well, who improved last time off of the somewhat lengthy layoff, about 4-5 month layoff, and now goes second off of it and finished up well. Honey, I'm Good will receive plenty of support given that she's got some pace and can be involved from the start. So there are a few different ways to go. I just, based on that trip last time, I have to take Get Mother a Rose, and I'll feel like I'll do that with a pretty decent amount of confidence.
Nice. So I'm glad we agree there. Let's talk about that seventh race. Here's a classic 7/8 first level allowance. Not a big field, but certainly if Free Enterprise runs back to that maiden breaker at Belmont at the end of September, he's going to be tough to beat. But you know, there's also the aspect that you know, Chad playing it, you know, rather conservative with Free Enterprise, you know, kind of spoon feeding him with the allowance try rather than shopping for a stake somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess he probably could have gone to a place like Laurel or something like that. I mean, this kind of feels like a, I don't know, maybe a General George type of horse in the relatively short run. Don't forget also the exact same connections have Complexity, who got 101 buyer mm-hmm. in winning on Wednesday. I'm sorry, yeah, on Wednesday. Yeah. But yeah, interesting group, and I guess the horse that I was looking at the overnight the other day, and I couldn't remember if he had run since, but I remember Double Orb winning the opener on Belmont Friday, going wire to wire in a race that I think a lot of us chalked up to attract bias, but Double Orb was a very impressive winner that day and surprised many people with the quality of the race that he ran, coming in with what looked like pretty nondescript workouts, and then ended up just ripping that field apart. Obviously, has had a setback since then. But he'll do the heavy lifting early in here with the speed from the inside. And I imagine Free Enterprise and to some extent Kong Style will be set up outside of him. You know, look, Free Enterprise was a really unlucky maiden in that he landed in some pretty tough fields, ran into some pretty good horses, including Performer and NYC. And obviously the day that Air Touch beat him, I'm sure Javier Castellano wishes that he could have had that back. given that he moved probably a little bit too soon. It looks like he's positioned well on the outside to just stalk and pounce in this field. And, you know, David Aragona was somewhat conservative with the morning line, making him 9-5. When you think about this horse at 9-5 versus Sadler's Joy at 8-5 in the Red Smith, I mean, this feels like a much, much likelier winner. But there are a few alternatives. I think when push comes to shove, if you're playing the pick five, you're probably leaning on Free Enterprise as a lone A and using everybody else as a backup, because he wins this race to me somewhere in the vicinity of 75-80% of the time, especially if he runs back to his last race. He'll be very, very tough to beat.
Yeah, the Charlie McCoy 4-1 for Michelle Nevin, the state bred, cleared, you know, second level state bred condition. So he's got to move to this, and I'll tell you that you know, even though he got beat in that February race, that race, you know, that level of performance would fit well in here. And you know, a horse like this, a 4-year-old, you know, close to turning five, this horse could come back a much improved runner that could even move beyond what he's already shown.
I don't think that's going to surprise anybody. And Michelle Nevin's been not quite as successful off of long layoffs as she is probably second off. So it could be that this horse is being set up for maybe his next start. But actually, you know, the race that I was trying to think of that Free Enterprise could have gone into was the Fall Highway Handicap. But
yes.
Ends
yes.
up here instead, and probably would have been, I don't know who will end up in the Fall Highway, but probably would have ended up being one of the choices in there. However, taking the conservative route is probably not a big mistake. But yeah, Charlie McCoy's got races, that figure, and Fast Talking is an interesting horse coming back off the layoff. He's probably going to have to improve a little too much to really take him seriously. But if Sugar's gotten this horse figured out, you know, he won a good maiden race at Gulfstream back in February, and he could easily end up needing one, maybe two. Could be a horse to follow in Florida over the winter, but he definitely hinted at some ability, and though he beat Leinster on Leinster's second best surface, he still did it, and Leinster's ended up proving to be, or Leinster, I guess some people call him, has proven to be a pretty decent horse. So it's an interesting group, and you know, it continues the conversation we have every week about the quality of a lot of the racing that's going on right now at Acura, especially on the dirt, which we've really lacked since Saratoga, and it's awfully nice to see.
That sixth race, I've talked about this now for 2 days, ever since, you know, the overnight came out, the presence of the first time starter, Queen's Empire, the Irish bred, Bill Mott, and Bessie Lou, and, this is, the dam that's a half to Royal Delta and Kozan. And, of course, she herself, for those that don't remember, Crown Queen, she won the Queen Elizabeth, and the Lake Placid, actually. So she, in her own right, she's not just the sister of Royal Delta and, you know, sneaky stud Kozan. However, there's a lot more going on in this race, including the move by Chad with the Ramsey homebred, Nick. I thought this was really interesting. Telephone Talker ran a very good race at Keeneland on the dirt, and rather than, you know, go forward on the main, moves over to the turf here, and yes, there's plenty of turf breeding in here. The dam, Catherine's Kitten, was very solid, and also Artemis Bridge. But I'm a little surprised that they, you know, maybe they wonder too that if it came off the turf, that'd be okay. But what do you think's going on here?
Yeah, I was completely baffled by this. I saw, especially, and I do think the scenario that you just laid out is probably, there's probably a better chance of that being the case than you might originally think, because he's running one of these European purchased Clarovich horses in the race as well.
Right.
And it's very hard to believe that he wants to take what clearly is a dirt horse with ability. And let's not kid ourselves. I mean, Chad doesn't put a lot of 2-year-olds on the track that show big time early speed and run second in, you know, very, what end up being very productive. And Predator, who ran third in that race, I was at Keeneland that day. Everybody was talking about how Predator was a potential Derby horse. Everybody was talking about Predator, and he was supposed to win that race in a canter. And Silver Prospector ended up running very well. Telephone Talker ran great. So I really think that this horse is only running if it gets transferred to the dirt. You mentioned Catherine's Kitten being a bit of a turf influence. She did, the only race she won was on the turf. Wicked Strong's are 0 for 20 first-time turf. His progeny overall in the turf are 2 for 34. This is not a horse that you'd think would end up on the grass. Now, that being said, his other horse, Assiduously, is a horse that you would end up imagining being on the grass. It's very clear that that was why this horse was purchased. We've seen, obviously, Chad have a great deal of success with horses purchased overseas, including DeMarchelier and Digital Age, Newspaper of Record. Those horses all came from this Tattersall sale, where I believe Assiduously did as well. You're expecting good things. It doesn't matter that it's taken until this time of year for him to debut. This is around the same time of year the Annals of Time debuted 4 years ago. And other than Queen's Empire, in terms of the interesting-looking two-year-olds, what you're working with in here are Eagerly and Cananos. And Eagerly is a horse that ran well on debut, came back, and didn't embarrass himself at all when being second to Tiesto. Maybe it was a little disappointing because Tiesto was kind of an upset debut winner. But is a horse with some ability, and clearly American Pharaohs have taken nicely to the turf. This is a dam side that's very skilled in terms of the grass. So, I mean, I think if Telephone Talker is entered mainly for the race to come off the turf, with it being on the turf, you're using some combination of Assiduously, Eagerly, Cananos, and Queen's Empire, just because you're not going to be beaten by Queen's Empire given the pedigree and the situation here. But in all likelihood, Queen's Empire is going to need a race or two. Royal Delta won on debut, but this is not always a really put the screws to him debut type of barn, and that might just end up being breaking from the outside as well. Queen's Empire may need a tour of the racetrack a little bit and be ready to go next time.
Well, looking forward to another nice day of racing. Today, there happens to be a maiden turf race that we mentioned, and by my count, there's a total of 3 $1-point-something-million horses running today and tomorrow. Today, the American Pharaoh, the Adina Pharaoh out of Life at 10 for Larry Best and Chad running that fourth race, making a second start and part of a 3-5 entry going back to Belmont, and really, you know, 4 weeks, I suppose. Chad's happy with where the filly is, how she's progressed since the debut.
I hope so. I really don't think they thought this horse would have to go to the turf this quickly, but I mean, it's you know, the American Pharaoh thing is funny, and I could get on a rant about it. I won't. I know everybody and their brother is trying to make it seem like American Pharaoh is a phenomenal stallion, and by no means is he off to a poor start. But they're gravitating to the grass a little quicker than Ashford would like. That's just my opinion. These horses have not proven themselves on the dirt as quickly as one would like. And you don't pay $1.2 million for an American Pharaoh Life at 10 filly so that it can end up getting stretched out for the grass in its second start. That being said, interesting to see how it runs. Obviously, Chad knows what to get to the grass. I thought that Speedy Vanessa was interesting in there as well. We've seen Graham Motion do very well with these Alex Campbell horses, and there's plenty of turf pedigree here, also in American Pharaoh. So that might be the somewhat logical alternative. I guess Orsay had a little bit of speed on her debut, and that's a good thing this time of year to be able to be forwardly placed, given the condition of the turf around this time. But, yeah, I mean, Speedy Vanessa, you're talking about Carlo Vivari, and a couple of other horses that have been successful on the turf. So there's some influence there, including My Macho, who Graham Motion trained, and I believe won as a two-year-old up at Saratoga. So, yeah, interesting spot, and again, just another race where you'll see some quality horses doing battle early in their careers.
Nick, the one thing I occurs to me to ask, Chicago, is Chicago in your plan?
You know, I'm not a Hawthorne guy. I've actually never gone up there for this, and I shudder to think what'll happen if I ask if I can get a hall pass for the weekend to go play in a contest in Chicago. What I'm actually considering is going up to Lone Star for their contest on December 7th. I am still NHC unqualified, but the two times I've qualified this late in the year have both been Thanksgiving weekend, so I'm hesitant to go the I'm going to play online route, but there's a chance I might play a contest next week. and see if that ends up getting the job done. But yeah, there's a few contests left. I can go to Lone Star. I can go to Fairgrounds on the 21st of December and play their super qualifier. So I'm going to, and there's actually a Sam Houston qualifier on,
nice.
On January 26th. Yeah, the anybody who is within the area and wants to play that contest, it's going to be very similar to what Lone Star does, $1,000. It'll be primarily Sam Houston races. They've got a couple of NHC spots for 20 or 21. And they're also offering tour points. So if you're of that persuasion, there's a chance to do it. And I think they're going to do an excellent job. They're getting pretty much all the recommendations for how to run the contest from myself and Trey Stiles, who's qualified. I think every year the NHC has happened. So and it's also a Houstonian. So we're going to do our best to make sure the players are well taken care of. And that should be an excellent card of racing. So if Gulfstream wants to force out the peg of the Rainbow Six again the following day, it'll give you a great diversion.
Excellent. I love it. Good job. Well, then, let's see. Baby's first Thanksgiving next week.
Baby's going to be baby's first dinner out tonight. So yeah,
nice. Nice.
Yeah, wasting no time at all. Been keeping her in, and yeah, the weather's very nice here. It's gotten nice and warm, so she's adapting well. She got a good weight report last week at the doctor after not gaining enough weight the week before. She and I had a conversation about being a Tamaro, and she agreed that there would be no more concern about her putting on weight. So
I love it.
No issue at this point.
It's so great. Well, listen, happy Thanksgiving. We'll do some handicapping Friday of the big holiday weekend.
Same to you. Happy birthday. Let's hope that Minute Mouse gives you a belated birthday gift tomorrow. You got a couple in tomorrow. So
well,
best of luck.
Voltarine is going to scratch. I just heard from Gary. She
okay.
She appears to have wrenched an ankle, and I'm not waiting to hear. She's going for x-rays. She just was out for a gallop this morning, came back, and suddenly was off. And so Gary just literally in the last 15 minutes just texted me. So we'll just have the third race tomorrow. But I have to go down because I forgot to renew my license. So I have to go and and get the license done down at Aqueduct tomorrow before the race. So, Nick, I appreciate it.
It's a reason to.
Yeah, exactly. Enjoy, and I'll talk next week.
Sounds great, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Nick Tamaro, everybody. Let's take a break and got Scully and got the visit we're looking forward to from Brad Anderson, who won the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge. We'll get his report and his blow-by-blow. And, of course, having to, at the literally, you know, within minutes of post time, having to change his approach to try to win. Because he was leaning McKenzie and was pretty much all in on McKenzie and realized that if he was going to win, he had to go in a different direction, and he picked the right fork in the road. We'll talk to Brad in a little bit. Scully first, then later, Jeff Siegel, Hammer, and Mike Welch, too. We'll get the report about Bodie Express from Mike and glance ahead to Sunday's force out of the jackpot at Calder. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
At the track or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's BYK, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on every
everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 years old and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back about 15 into hour two, weekend preview at the races here on Sirius XM. Joined by James Scully, Twin Spires, and we can now put James's wedding anniversary into the Marty McGee, Steve Bick birthdays and the Matisse's, because now it's ingrained in my head, James, that the 19th is, or the 19th or the 20th.